Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the magnificent Monday edition of the Yard, we got a lot to talk about today. A couple things on programming note. We're not going to do a game recap, period. We don't need to go back and do one. A lot's happened since then. We're not going to gain anything. We're not going to learn anything. We're not going to do that. We're also not going to do a top 10 list today. We'll get our ad reads in. But we got a lot to talk about as it relates to college football and Mississippi State football. And that's what we're going to focus on. And sure, I've got some things to say about, what's happened up the road and around our conference. But today, I think, is an important show. Because we're going to divert from our regular format to spend a lot of time kind of taking an assessment of where we are, where we're going, and where we want to be. And kind of how the trouble up the road at Ole Miss kind of helps us in that endeavor. We are at a situation now, a very important juncture in the history of Mississippi State football. As you guys are well aware, it's been nearly 3 years. In 11 days, it'll be 3 years since Mike Leach passed away. Still feel the personal loss and all that, but guys, that's no longer an excuse for us on the football side of things. There's no book or instruction manual or roadmap to navigate what do you do when your head football coach dies. It's an unprecedented situation, but it's behind us. And I can tell you, as somebody that knew Coach pretty well, Mike would not want this. Mike would not want us to be, 3 years into this. Number one, still trying to figure it out. But he wouldn't want us pointing back and saying, you know what, man, if Coach Leach hadn't died. And listen, I feel that way too. I think we'd have had a really good year in 23. But that's what happened. We can't go back and fix that. But we can't also point to that as an excuse every time that we have a failure. That's a huge, huge, huge part of this thing, right? We can't make excuses for ourselves. Got to fix it. Now, for about a year there, we sat around kind of feeling sorry for ourselves, your good friend and host included. And I was devastated when Coach Leach died. Devastated. I remember the day all that's kind of beginning to break, And I'm in reporter mode. I'm in journalism mode. I'm calling around and I'm working sources and I'm talking to people and I'm getting news and it ain't good. And Dana, of course, was traveling to Ursa out in New Mexico. And all of a sudden it hit me. Man, I'm talking about my friend. I'm not just writing a regular story. I'm pursuing details about my friend who's had a massive heart attack. And it was tough, man. It was. But I can tell you, as someone that knew Coach Leach fairly well, the last thing he would want Mississippi State to do is to sit back here 3 years later and say, you know what, man, that just put us under. He wouldn't want that. And it's not proper. We've had 3 years coming up on our next portal class, right? Since then, there's been enough time. There has been. Can't point to that anymore. I think in many respects it's even disrespectful. We can't use that as an excuse anymore. We got to go fix what we need to fix to get back to being a winning football program. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Love Bulldog Burger Company, and I'm kind of excited I don't have to travel again for a while so I can partake of some cuisine from Bulldog Burger Company on a more regular basis. And for some of you, it's like, well, Steve, it's going to be a while before we make it back to town. Well, it sucks to be you, right? Because one of the best things about coming to town, whether you're in town or on your way, you can get some Bulldog Burger Company. You can get those spring rolls. And I can tell by the end of the holidays, some of you, I can tell you're going to be looking kind of peaked. Not me. Nope. I'm going to increase my spring roll intake so I can look radiant in my Christmas pictures. And you should too. Have those spring rolls as your appetizer. You'll be glad you did. Find your own favorites. Mine change a little bit, but I consistently like the Pimentology add bacon. I do. I don't even like pimento cheese sandwiches. I despise them. I loathe them. But I love the pimento spread on the Pimentology at Bulldog Burger Company. I can't explain it. I love it. I do. Throw some bacon on there, get a little extra protein, you know. Give the doctor something to watch with the cholesterol checks, all that good stuff. You get that chocolate shake and ride that ride home with a smile. Man, Bulldog Burger Company is elite. They know exactly how to feed folks. Be sure and check them out when you're around. Make plans soon to visit. Put your feet under their table and just let them take care of everything else. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Start Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We're not really going to do like, I'm just going to kind of wing it, okay? We're not going to do like a season review, and not yet. We'll do that later. But I want to talk about is a few things about our program. The first thing that I want to start with is, yes, there are going to be some staffing changes. Yes, I'm not guessing at this. I've been doing this nearly 30 years. Yes, there are going to be some staff. I'm not guessing. I'm telling you. And it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Okay, so you can stop asking. You can stop getting on Facebook. You can stop tweeting. It's going to happen. But be patient. And some people find that phrase so incredibly offensive for some reason. And to be honest with you, I'm offended that you're offended. I'm telling you, just hang on. Let it play out. Just wait. It's not like we're just sitting around at the SEAL complex saying, well, guys, what do we do? There's a plan in place. Right now, we're getting ready to sign some high school and junior college players in about 48 hours. That's the primary focus right now. I know many of you wanted us, you know, to line people up and shoot them after the Egg Bowl right outside of Davis Wade Stadium. And, of course, that's hyperbole, but you understand my point. You know, it's never soon enough. But as long as things get done and that we get quality replacements that help us get to where we want to go, you're just going to have faith that this is being taken care of. It is. And I hate to be all cryptic about it, but I'm just telling you, these are the things that are going to happen. Multiple changes. Some additions, some replacements. These guys are understanding. They know what they signed up for, right? So that's the first thing. Yeah, there's going to be some changes. Yes. And then there's the Joe self-loathing fan. But Steve, we were told there were going to be changes last year. And there were. Maybe you've forgotten, but there were. And State got better. Well, we need to exponentially get better again this go around. And a lot of that's going to be on the defensive side of the football. We have to get better defensively. It's not all the defense's fault, but the back half of the season, like you go back and you think about where we were at the end of the third quarter against Texas and how you felt about Mississippi State football and how you felt about our season, the trajectory of things, and the opportunity for us to get to a bowl game. Just go back and remember how that felt. Kind of put yourself back in that spot. Now, I don't know what happened in the fourth quarter of that Texas game. No clue what happened. But we have not been the same defense ever since. I don't know if they just lost their confidence. I don't know if maybe we mismanaged it as a defensive staff. You know, maybe we crushed them. I don't know. Or maybe we tried to overcorrect. But if you go back and look at that fourth quarter and then Arkansas, Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss on, completely different defense that played the first half of the year. Things got changed. Like, there's a lot of things I think I've shared with you guys before. I worked for a guy named Frank Thomas years ago. And Frank said something that has always kind of stayed with me. It really kind of changed the way I look at life and work. And listen, I was doing well, but I wasn't doing my best. Now, I told him I was doing my best because I was beginning to kind of compare myself to my peers, right? I had some substandard employees, and I thought, well, as long as I'm better than them, I'll maintain my job. One day he pulls me in the office, and he says, hey, you're not producing at the standard that I expect you to produce. And I was offended. I was offended. And I'm like, hey, well, look at this person and look at this person. And he goes, no. I don't evaluate you in relation to them. I'm evaluating you in relation to your potential. And you're underperforming. And he wasn't going to fire me. He was just trying to inspire me. I said, Mr. Thomas, I'm doing my best. And he goes, you know what, son? There's sometimes in life when your best isn't good enough. You don't need to do your best. You need to strive to do what's required. That's a different dynamic, right? Because let's be honest, your best can't truly be quantified. It's just something we say. I'm doing the best I can. No, well, chances are you're probably not. It's just what you say to shut people up. But when you begin to think about what's the expectation? Well, the expectation here is to win football games. The expectation here is to go to bowl games. The expectation here is to have the golden egg. The expectation here is to turn this program into a playoff contender. Those are the expectations. That's what's expected of you. So no, we're not going to accept, I'm doing my best. No, you're not. And we have to consider the possibilities that maybe, at times, some people in our employment, their best is not ever going to meet the expectation of the program and of the fan base. When those moments come, we have to make difficult decisions. And that's where we are. And those decisions are being made. I've had multiple conversations with Mississippi State officials over the weekend. I can tell you that I am told that Coach Jeff Labby has a plan in place. Okay? Let's just leave it at that. He has a plan in place. Next thing I want to talk about in relation to Mississippi State. Listen, all of us that grew up in this rivalry understand that the only thing that compares to good news in Starkville is bad news in Oxford. That's true, and I suspect it'll be that way from now on. Always has been. I suspect always will be. And you know, it's one of those old adages in life, misery loves company. You know, we're not maybe miserable right now, but we're not as happy as we want to be. And we're envious of our neighbors to the north. Because we felt, when we hired Mike Leach, they hired Lane Kiffin, that it would be us that would be in the playoff. You know, Mike Leach, of course, at Washington State really chased the playoffs and nearly made it with Gardner Minshew. That's back when it was a 14 playoff. We thought, man, this clown, Lane Kiffin, there's no way, man. Well, he proved us wrong. He did. Proved us right about some things, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But we don't need the highlight of our football season to be something negative about Ole Miss. And this is coming from me, the guy that exposed Hugh Freeze. The reality of this is we have to find a way to elevate ourselves, regardless of what they do. kind of back to what we were talking about when I worked with Frank Thomas. If we're just going to sit around and compare ourselves to them, and right now the comparison between us and them is not favorable to Mississippi State. But we can't continue to have this just beat Ole Miss mentality that was prevalent decades and maybe a generation before. We can't look at that and say that's the measure of our season. We should expect to beat Ole Miss every year. Now, that's not realistic to expect to beat them every year, but that should be an expectation for us. And one of the things about that...
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think you got to re-emphasize the Egg Bowl. Now, what do I mean by that? One of the things, and I go back to the Dan Mullen era, and know what, we're not bringing Dan back. Okay, stop. Stop! The one way that Dan Mullen initially endeared himself to all of us is he went and poked Ole Miss right in the chest. He went and picked a fight. Kind of like Jackie Sherrill did. Now, kind of unbeknownst to you, many of you, Egg Bowl week, when guys came in to report, you had Ole Miss jerseys that were like laying in the floor and guys walked on them and blew their nose on them and spit on them. You had the urinal cakes that had Tucson on them or Ole Miss or whatever. And you had that countdown clock. Do you remember that, the countdown clock? If somebody can find it, I'd love to have it. If you're not going to use it, let me have it. But we made it a big deal. And Dan Mullen tipped the rivalry for a while. And now that, you know, Leach was a guy that, like, it's just another game. We want to win it, but we're going to treat it like just another game. And I get the sense, even though Jeff Lebby says he's been on both sides of this thing, so he should have a good understanding. We need to reemphasize the battle for the golden egg. That should be a foundational standard. When we get ready to sit down beginning of the year and say, okay, what do we want to accomplish? All right, we want to win, have a winning season. We want to get to a great bowl game, possibly get in the playoffs. Well, coach, what about the Egg Bowl? Well, that should go without saying. So I think we got to reemphasize that. Not just because it is the rivalry game, because typically it is the final game. And when you begin to think about recruiting and in-state pride and, you know, branding of your university, you want that golden egg. And not to mention, when you begin to think about ending the season on a positive note, because every other year it's going to be senior day, I think we got to fire that clock back up. I think we got to reorder those urinal cakes and say Ole Miss on them. You've got to reemphasize that. And it's like people are like, oh, you know, all this crazy stuff that happened over the weekend, and still working on that stuff, just so you know. I don't care where Lane Kiffin gets his mail. We're going to do our best to help get to the bottom of all this stuff. But, you know, so the Jersey Gate thing, you know, in the beginning, you know, they came to me and said, did you hear what happened? I'm like, what? I mean, I'm on press row. And they're like, somebody broke into the locker room and stole Trinidad Chambliss' jersey last night. Lane Kiffin has talked about it on SEC Network. And I immediately said, well, whatever Ole Miss fan is responsible for this needs to be held accountable and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. My first reaction. And then we get a little deeper into this thing. Then we find out the door was left unlocked. And just so you guys know, when we travel, and those of you that know Phil Silva, he can back me up on this. When we travel, you know, the equipment manager gets there, everybody gets there. We are the only people that have a key to our visiting locker room. Sometimes it's locked down days ahead of time. But you go up there, you put a chain around it, you padlock it. Nobody has a key other than you. That's standard protocol in football. Not just for Mississippi State, but in college football. And then, of course, the video makes the rounds. The door is locked, but it's propped open, right? The deadbolt, the door's not closed, but the deadbolt's up so people can walk in and out. At 3 in the morning, and why are the lights on? Why are the lights on at 3 in the morning? Why is the door open? You know, these are questions that need to be asked and answered. You know, so yeah, the whole thing is fishy to me. And of course, you know, the guy returned the jersey. Now, if you guys knew that, he returned the jersey. And they say that he was a student at Southern Miss. You know, of course, that doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, he could be a Mississippi State guy, could be an Ole Miss guy, but just happened to go to Southern Miss. You don't ever know, right? But I don't think we can let this thing slip, even though Lane Kiffin is gone. Let me tell you why. Because there were some very potentially defamatory things said about Mississippi State by Lane Kiffin and some players from Ole Miss. Right, there were multiple comments that were made about our university. And like Lane Kiffin says, well, just like Mississippi State did. Mississippi State did this. Mississippi State did that. Guys, Mississippi State had nothing to do with it. Period. But that's what was said. And then Trinidad Chambliss comes out and says, well, that just kind of goes to show you what kind of school Mississippi State is. The school didn't do anything. Mississippi State football didn't do anything. This was the actions of one to two people. And I think it's important those people become identified and we get a chance to do a little due diligence on all of that. Right? And maybe you've heard and read, in the week prior to Thanksgiving, there was an attempt to gain entry, an unauthorized entry, into the Mississippi State XOS film system. That is factual. I've confirmed it with probably a dozen people now. I'm told this person did not gain access, reached out to some other people to see if they had access, and then they in turn reached out to some of our people and said, hey, there's a problem here. And the SEC office is involved. And it's interesting, too, that people like, well, see, I'm just kind of skeptical. Well, you know, shove it. I don't care. You can believe what you want to believe. Whatever makes you feel better. This happened. It's been confirmed every which way to Sunday. And I'm told there's going to be a ruling from the league. Now, it doesn't change the ball game. Nobody's going on probation, but there's going to be something. Greg Sankey and that group are going to do something because you can't let these things happen. And even though Lane Kiffin's gone, we're going to continue to push it. Period. That's an important aspect of this. Everybody's got to be held accountable. And I said that whenever we were working on Flim Flam and all that good stuff. I want everybody to get credit for everything they've done. Everybody. Get credit for it. Period. Now, I'm told that Ole Miss officials are cooperating, that they have handled this appropriately. I'm not in any way throwing bombs in the Ole Miss administration's direction. I don't know what their coaching staff knew. I don't know what they directed this person to do. Don't know any of that. So I'm not accusing any of them of that. But this particular staffer, according to witnesses, attempted to access the Mississippi State video system. And why do you do that? Well, I mean, I would surmise it's to gain a competitive advantage in a very important ball game. And then what's so funny is when I begin to dig into this, all of a sudden you start getting the calls. Oh, you know, we got this going on. And that's not my issue. I get tipped off on a story. I find it, confirm it. And then we get to work on the story. And I wanted to write the story Wednesday night, just couldn't get everything drilled down. And I have the name. I have the name of the accused. But because they are the accused and not the charged, I'm not going to put it out there. Now, I've had some people tell me this person is no longer employed by Ole Miss football. And I hope that's the case. But I don't know that. I haven't been able to confirm that. And I've reached out to multiple people around him. And apparently they don't want to talk. That typically happens, you know, when I get on the trail or something like this. But yeah, you know, I think the whatever happens, it needs to be made public. Now, I understand, too, if I'm working in Birmingham and Ole Miss is a playoff team, the last thing I want is everybody in the league on the phone. Like everybody that Ole Miss beat. Hey, you know, we need to look into this, too. You know, this may have been an isolated situation. I don't know anything about that. But I get that aspect of it, right? I mean, and that's one of the things, too, that I want to say before we get too deep into the show. I got no beef with student athletes. None. They're just young people trying to get their education paid for and make your dreams come true. Coaching staff, institution, that kind of stuff, it's a little different, right? And listen, I got some friends that coach at Ole Miss. And I wish them the best. They have to have a job, right? They're trying to advance their careers. They got to be able to pay the mortgage. I get it. I do. I understand. But institutionally, if something is not proper, it needs to be addressed. And it is being addressed. And so we'll see what happens. But I'm not letting it go. I don't care what kind of coaching moves they've made. The truth is going to be told one way or another. And if you don't think these things matter, you're just kidding yourself. They do. Somebody has to stand up for Mississippi State. And I believe Zach Selman is doing that behind the scenes, why he has not made public declarations about this stuff. I think you saw in the Egg Bowl when he ran out there to kind of help restore order and kind of got face-to-face with Lane Kiffin. And, of course, Lane Kiffin mentioned that on the halftime show from what I understand. But you got an athletic director that cares. You got an athletic director that's not going to be pushed around. And I think that's an important aspect of the Mississippi State experience. You know, John Cohen's a guy that didn't get pushed around either, you know. We ended up winning a national championship on his watch as an AD in baseball. And I think we're about to do it with Zach Selman, too. But my point being is that we need people that are willing to go stand up and defend the honor of Mississippi State. You can't let people just say whatever they want to. You can't. You can't. You got to go answer it. Now, some of it is just, you know, there's some people out there that have a lot to say, but they don't have a lot of bass in their voice. Their voice doesn't really carry. You know, it's just kind of in their little bubble, you know. They're yelling loud. Nobody's paying attention, though. There's always that aspect of it. But when you got somebody to go out there nationally and repeatedly say things about the institution, I think you've got an obligation to respond. Now, you probably need to make sure you coordinate everything through the SEC office. And quite frankly, I think Lane Kiffin should be censured by the league for that. I mean, I don't need his apology, but I think it needs to be acknowledged that this behavior is, you know, not acceptable. Is it a big deal in the grand scheme of things? Maybe not in the moment, but I love the fact that Mississippi State has somebody willing to stand up for State, and I think you want that too. Yeah, I saw that picture making the rounds. I think it was the Clarion Ledger photog that got that, of Selman on the field trying to restore order. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Just let things descend into chaos? Zach acted appropriately and in the best interest of Mississippi State, period. And we've got some other athletic directors that have been around that would have done the same thing. Not a lot of them, but some of them. But at the end of the day, we have to get our program on the right track. And I think we're trending in the right direction. And listen, there's some coaching things that happened this year and some execution things player-wise that didn't happen that prevented us from making a bowl game. So, yeah, beginning of the year, we all said, hey, you know, 5-7, and we are. And most people would have been happy with that. But we're not happy now, right? Because we see how close we were to winning 6 or 7 games. Right? If we'd lost to Texas by 14 or we'd lost to Tennessee by 20 points, you'd say, well, you know, I kind of expect that. But because it was so dangerously close, you look back and say, man, we let that get away. But isn't that a sign of progress too? That instead of a team dictating terms to us, that it was within our own reach? And it was our own maybe ineptitude or our own mistake that cost us the game, that we didn't get whipped. We just didn't execute high enough to win. I think that is a sign of progress. But we got to make some changes in the next 45 days to our roster and to our coaching staff to upgrade, especially at a time that is so incredibly chaotic. In the Southeastern Conference, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and we have got to make sure that we're going to get our bite. All right, time for our Close with Blair player of the day. It actually will be players today. Man, Blair is our friend. I don't know if you know this. He's probably a better friend to you than you realize yet because you haven't utilized his services. Maybe you haven't had a need. Let me give you Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save it in your phone as Mortgage Guy, because you may forget the name, you won't forget the need. CloseWithBlair.com is the website you can go to learn more information about the services that Blair Chandler renders at such a high level. Now he's got his own Fairway Mortgage operation. Big things are happening. 25 years of experience in this industry. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. You never know when life's going to throw you a curveball. Maybe you got to relocate. You know, that could be a very stressful process. Let Blair make it a little easier. Let him do some of the heavy lifting for you. He'll be glad to do it. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, which could prove to be more affordable than you think, visit Blair at CloseWithBlair.com. Okay, your players of the day are going to be your Bulldog seniors. I'm not going to list them all, but man, we're so grateful that we were able to share the path with you for a while. We appreciate your contributions to Mississippi State. And listen, hey, last 3 years have been beneath our standards, but it doesn't change the way that we feel about you. We're glad that you've got your degree and you're going to be well-adjusted when you get done playing football, whenever that may be. But, you know, we're very grateful that you are part of our family. This is home for you. You can always come home. You've always got people that love you here. You go out there and stand on a 50-yard line, be honored and be applauded. And we love you. And it's one of those things, too, that, you know, in the portal world, you don't get a lot of 4- and 5-year seniors. So we've only got a handful of them. But whether you just got here in January or you got here 5 years ago, we're very grateful for you and your contributions to Mississippi State sports. Not going to have a top 10 list today, but before we get into our next segment, let's go ahead and talk about Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com, Kalido Guitars. I have a guitar from them. I'm very proud of it. Very proud of it. And during the holiday season, I'm going to get caught up on my practicing. I get a little frustrated at times. It's not as good as I want to be, but the only way to get better is to practice. You can't just will yourself into being better. You've got to rehearse and practice. That's how life works, you know. So if you or someone you know is a guitar player, let me encourage you, visit ColitoGuitars.com today. Christmas is coming up. 24 days away, Mom. You've procrastinated long enough. Maybe it's time to reward the guitar player in your life with some new gear from Kalito Guitars. Whether you're looking for a new guitar itself, you can get a beginner's guitar all the way up to a professional grade model. You can get an acoustic, you can get a classical guitar or an electric guitar, and everything in between, right? You can get gig bags, cases, cables, accessories, strings, anything you need to be a better player, you can find at KalitoGuitars.com. Now, we're going to give you a promo code. It's going to unlock some savings for you. I know you love a good promo code all year long, but especially this time of year, we can save you some cash. We'd love to do it. Promo code BSR, you know it well. That's going to get you a 10% discount off the already low price. In addition to that, no sales tax, unless you live in the state of Texas. No shipping. And they're going to make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What a great incentive to do business with some great Bulldogs that own this great stringed instrument shop. It's your guitar shop. It is. Run by some fine Bulldogs based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Be sure and check it out today. KalitoGuitars.com. Okay. Let me jump a little bit into this Lane Kiffin thing, and then we're going to look at some other stuff too. But the first thing that I will say is, Ole Miss fans, you can't do it to yourself. Okay, the first thing that I'm going to tell you about that aspect of it is, you know, your friends at ESPN that have tried to, like, prop you up and everything, and they do the documentary and stuff, and then it, like, blows up in your face. And then we're getting reports now that, like, Juice Kiffin wasn't even his dog. You kidding me? What? You kidding me? I think you are. But I think more importantly, you're kidding yourself. Just let people be themselves. You don't have to hire a publicist and go on this all public relations thing. And you don't have to do it that way. But for some reason, you keep doing it that way. And it continues to blow up in your face. I think every bit of that is important to understand. You know, you are responsible for a lot of this stuff. And so I just want to share that with you because Lane Kiffin didn't change. You tried to bill it that he did, but he didn't change. He's still the same person he's always been. And let me give you, this weekend is proof positive of that. Let me kind of go back and take a look here at some things with Lane Kiffin that should have, kind of been maybe a hint and a half to you. So his first year at Oakland as a head coach, he goes 4-12. 4-12. And then he gets fired at Oakland with a 1-3 record. And it was pretty crazy. Like, Al Davis went on a press conference junket and said that Lane Kiffin was a pathological liar. Said he was the biggest liar he'd ever known, or words to that effect. And he was fired for conduct detrimental to the Raiders. Pretty crazy, right? Kiffin said he was fired without cause, always the victim. And then an arbitrator with the NFL came back and said Al Davis did indeed have cause to fire Lane Kiffin. That's strike number one. Then eventually, Lane gets the opportunity to get back into head coaching again at Tennessee. Everything is good, brings in Ed Orgeron, brings in Frank Wilson, and all, they're getting the band back together, whatever. And eventually, Lane Kiffin left Tennessee. And it was nuts, right? And I give Lane Kiffin credit for one thing. He had like a post-media conference. Like, he got together after the decision was made and answered a few questions, which was, who cares, right? Caused a riot on campus. Hundreds of students rioted upon the news of Lane Kiffin's departure. Leaves and goes to USC. Puts together a couple of good seasons, 8-5, then 10-2. In 2012, they go 7-6, and then in 13, he's fired with a 3-2 record and was fired on the tarmac following the USC debacle. I can't remember which game they lost, but they're getting ready to go back to campus, and he was taken into a small room inside the terminal and told him he was fired. Pat Hayden made the call. They left Kiffin and his bags behind at the airport. Sounds like they were tired of him, right? It's interesting to kind of go back and look at the pathology of all this. Ed Orgeron takes over as the interim coach. And then Lane goes into the Nick Saban rehabilitation program, the coaching rehabilitation clinic that he has there. And then they don't even let him coach the national championship game. Sarkisian calls it. Like, they just said, just go ahead and go. Just go ahead and go to Florida Atlantic, take the gig down there, and be good. And he did. But again, he left under auspicious circumstances. Has a good first year at FAU, a bad second one, and then bounces back. And I had a staffer from FAU who remained anonymous that sent me some things, because this is all around the Hugh Freeze. The Hugh Freeze stuff was over by then, but I had some name recognition, and this guy thought I should write this piece about Lane Kiffin. I refused to do so, partially because many of the things that he shared were more personal in nature. And even if though he felt pretty confident in what he said, I don't know what all he could prove. So he elected not to do anything with it. But he left a fire burning in the hearts and minds of some of those people in Boca Raton. Then he goes to Ole Miss, and then he has this very protracted and elongated decision. And because in many respects of Lane Kiffin's indecision, he really puts Ole Miss in a very difficult spot. Now, we talked about this when all these jobs began to come open, is there's going to be some people left at the end of the game of musical chairs without a sitting head coaching candidate. And that's what happened to Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin is largely to blame. I don't blame Keith Carter for that. I don't. Some of their fans may. I don't know. But there was a lot of discussion that John Sumrall from Tulane was going to end up there. Well, Sumrall, of course, was a candidate at Auburn. That did not prove to be a love connection. He ultimately goes to Florida. And if you're a subscriber to Gene's page, I shared that in a thread called Some Interesting Smoke, that John Sumrall wanted to bring most, if not all, of his own staff where he went next. And with Pete Golding as a defensive coordinator at Ole Miss, that could be a sticking point. Auburn had expressed some interest in retaining DJ Durkin, and that proved to be a sticking point. Well, he can go to Florida and pretty much bring whoever he wants. So if you were a Gene's Page subscriber, you kind of knew this was probably how things were going to work out, but there was a lot of Ole Miss chatter they were going to get him. They didn't. There was a report last week from an Arkansas beat writer that said that Arkansas was finalizing a deal for Alex Golish to be their head coach. And it went days and days and days. And then yesterday morning, word began making the rounds that Auburn was going to have a players meeting at 10 o'clock. And then shortly thereafter, they announced that Alex Golish was going to be their head coach. Arkansas pivots and hires Ryan Silverfield from Memphis, who's done some good things there. And we were told early in this process that Arkansas would likely dip into the G5 ranks. People weren't expecting Scott Strickland to do it again after the Billy Napier issue. But, John Sumrall obviously was kind of one of the – if Lane Kiffin was like pick number one, John Sumrall was pick number two. Guy won big at Troy, winning big at Tulane. And so if you're Scott Strickland, you probably feel a little bit better about that aspect of it, because I think when you've done it in multiple stops, whereas Billy Napier had not, I think you've got a little bigger body of work to work with. And then now we have this, situation where, and again, this is alleged, I wasn't in the meeting, that things got contentious and ugly between the Ole Miss administration and Lane Kiffin, and that he made some claims about taking players and coaches. And, of course, there were some false reports out there that the entire Ole Miss staff was going to stay. That's been disproven. And, again, this is one of those things you do to yourself. People start thinking, hey, they love us. Well, the reality of it is he's their boss. He hired them and brought them there, and he's going to hire and bring them there, some of them anyway. But when you break this whole thing down, you talk about what an injustice that Lane Kiffin did to Ole Miss. Number one, holding this fan base hostage, making them sweat this thing out when it's one of the greatest seasons in school history, and they're having to worry about their coach. Well, now that's over. And so now you kind of wonder what's going to happen between now and the playoff game, because Ole Miss is getting in. They may not host, because you start thinking about it, it's a 16-team playoff. They were 7 in last week's rankings. They only got to drop 2 spots. And you got to feel like, if you're the committee, it would set a bad precedent to leave an 11-1 team out. I think everybody would agree with that. Especially, even the most ardent Mississippi State fan could look at that and say, you know what, that's not fair. It'd be funny, but it's not fair. So I think they make the playoff, really without a lot of question. But I think you begin to ask yourself, if you're on this committee, what chances does this team have of winning a national championship without its head coach and without its offensive coordinator and many other staffers? I would say not very good. If Florida State loses their playoff spot, despite going undefeated because they lose their quarterback, and the argument was, well, they're a different team. Well, this is a different team too. And who's to say that Lane Kiffin's not going to get some players to opt out and go ahead and prepare to get in the portal and transfer to LSU? I mean, those conversations are ongoing. I don't know if it's going to happen, but you and I both know, as petty as all this has become, there's a good chance that happens. Could it be a name of significance? Who knows? Another thing that I think we need to address, and I really think what happened on College Game Day with ESPN was a disservice to the fans of college football. And I think it's beneath ESPN. Of course, they also put this The Many Lives of Lane Kiffin documentary together to kind of whitewash the image a little bit. Again, you're doing it to yourselves, because now everybody's just making fun of you. Everybody's like, what? The whole thing was like fake? There's some evidence to support that contention. But you have all these guys that are represented by CAA, which is the firm that Jimmy Sexton owns and operates. And they're out there, Lane Kiffin should be able to do this, and it's not a Lane Kiffin problem, and Lane Kiffin should do this and that and the other and should be allowed to do this. Guys, give us a break, man. Like, this messaging, and I think it's beneath what we should expect from the worldwide leader in sports. How can you trust these people? And the people are making jokes about it, but how can you trust them in situations such as this when it appears they've been given their marching orders? And why do they do it? Why do they do it? It's a good question. Nobody rides for each other more than CAA clients, period. I think that's a fair assessment. The next part of that story is, as you begin to kind of work through how all this has kind of been in some ways manipulated, it's almost poetic justice that some people on the Ole Miss side and the CAA side have tried to manipulate all of this, and then they ultimately land with a guy, Lane Kiffin, that can't be manipulated. Food for thought. The other side of it is, again, Ole Miss is left without a dance partner and promotes from within and hires Pete Golding. I have some friends that think a lot of Pete Golding. I don't know Pete Golding. I've never met Pete Golding that I'm aware of. But I know a lot of people that do, that really like him. They think, hey, this guy's going to do a good job. You got to wonder, though, is this another Zach Arnett / Matt Luke situation? Not that Pete Golding doesn't deserve to be a head coach at some point, but did they kind of panic and react emotionally here to save the roster, but also, too, to put themselves in a situation where at least, hey, we can kind of stabilize things for now. We can reassess next year. What's what we did, right? That's an interesting dynamic, if you ask me. It truly is. It's truly interesting to me to think about that, because all this discussion in the beginning was, you know, Lincoln Riley and all these names like that, and then you walk down there and just hire your defensive coordinator. And again, kind of like in our situation, as we opened the show talking about the untimely passing of Mike Leach, we had to make the decision that we thought was best at the time. Now, in hindsight, it was the wrong decision. And you got to wonder if this is the same thing. I had a dinner last night with a name you'd know, but we're not going to name drop with you. Had an Ole Miss fan come up, an older gentleman, very nice, cordial. You know, kind of looks at it. We look at each other and kind of like, man, what can you do, you know? And so we begin to kind of walk through this thing. And he goes, man, I hate to disturb you. But, you know, that's part of it, right? And he says, you know, how do you feel about all this? And I don't know why he wanted my opinion, but I gave it. Walks away and he comes back. And he goes, you know, the thing that's so sad to me about all this is it's pretty apparent that these college coaches just don't have a lot of character these days. That's a sad state of affairs if you believe that. There's probably some truth in it. It's one of those things that I always go back to is these people are not your friends. They may be friendly. They may like you a lot. They may hang out and play golf with you. They may even go to dinner with you. But they're not really your friends. They're the hired help. And you almost got to keep them at arm's length a little bit because you lose objectivity. And the man went on to say, you know, based on what we've seen this weekend and with our last couple of coaching hires, I'm just kind of losing faith in these guys doing the right thing. And I said this, and I didn't mean it to be a shot, and he didn't take it as one, thank goodness. I goes, man, based on some of the things that have happened in Oxford the last couple of years, you guys probably know better than anybody about unscrupulous coaches that don't have a lot of character. And there's all this buildup with them about, you know, everybody loves Oxford. Everybody loves Oxford. That's a very self-serving statement. It's not true. There may be some people that are content there. But you do it to yourself. If you really wanted somebody that absolutely, without doubt, loved Oxford, you should have kept Matt Luke. He just didn't win enough. Loves Ole Miss. Stepped up for Ole Miss in a very difficult time. Right? He did. For the betterment of the university. The program was in crisis, and Matt Luke stepped up and said, you know what? I don't know how long this thing is going to last, but I'm going to do what I can for the program and university that I love. And I respect it, man. I do. I respect it. But Matt Luke loved Oxford, and Matt Luke loves Ole Miss, and Matt Luke would have stayed there the rest of his career if they would have let him. And so let's just kind of see it for what it is. Let's not try to go manipulate the messaging to suggest that these people that, you know, are really just there to draw a check and advance their career are ready to go, join the Chamber of Commerce, start passing out leaflets and, you know, helping little ladies across the street. They're there to coach sports. And sometimes the lines between our relationship get a little bit blurred. It's happened to me too. But the reality in all of this is what has happened in Oxford, when no matter how you feel about Ole Miss, and there's no love lost between me and them, but what has happened over the course of last month is incredibly unfortunate. Now, I don't fault Lane Kiffin for taking the LSU job. I think it's the best job available. I think it's one of the best jobs in America. And again, you go back and look at this thing. You know, Les Miles and Ed Orgeron won national championships. Right? So if you're Lane Kiffin, you got to think, if they can do it, so can I. Obviously, Nick Saban won there too. Nick Saban's also the GOAT. But you look at it and say, hey, Ed Orgeron completely failed at Ole Miss, learned some things, and then won a national championship because he could recruit. You know, Les Miles, bit of a riverboat gambler. No, I don't think anybody ever said Les Miles was a great head coach. A lot of people said he's a good head coach and he's a good man. I've had interactions with him. Super nice guy. And you could see why he would do well in the recruiting trail. But if you're Lane Kiffin, you're thinking, if I want to win a ring, I can do it at LSU. Which takes me to my final point about this segment of the show. There's a lot of people out there that'll talk themselves into nearly anything. And what's happened to Ole Miss fans, and I have some in my family, not on my dad's side of the family or my mom's side, it's on my wife's side. Her uncle played football at Ole Miss, and they became Ole Miss fans because he went there. They didn't grow up Ole Miss fans. They were just, you know, international paper people and people that worked the farm and as blue collar as you come. And because Eddie Joe Hill got an opportunity to go play offensive line at Ole Miss, they became Ole Miss fans. And you know what? I love them. I do. And I told Dana over the weekend, I said, the people that I feel sorry for are people like your dad. You know, people that they love Ole Miss, maybe they didn't go to Ole Miss. Eddie Joe went to Ole Miss. But I feel bad for your dad. You know, because your dad's not one of these lunatics that gets out here and like talks trash to people on Twitter. Right? He just enjoys Ole Miss football. He wants Ole Miss to win. Those are the people that I feel sorry for. I do. But for those of you that have tried to build this narrative up, that everything is just so lovely, you got a stark reminder that you're not who you thought you were. Once again, Ole Miss finds out that there's a club that they can't buy their way into. And here you are, finally realizing the dream of a lifetime, making the playoff and thinking, man, we got a chance to go in an AFL championship for the first time since Vaught. And all those are questionable. I don't care what you say. But this is a legitimate one. This would legitimize Ole Miss as a bona fide program. Only to see your coach leave. And probably the most destructive way possible before the playoffs even begin. So again, you do it to yourself. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmarting. Why? Because they have the things we want. And what do we want? More Mississippi State merch. And you can find everything that your heart desires at Campus Bookmart, whether it's new apparel, gift ideas, or everything you need to detail out your fan cave. Cool stuff there. And if I win the lottery, I'll go buy them out and I'll give you guys gifts too. But you'd have to play the lottery in order to win the lottery. So don't get your hopes up. But I love going in there because it feels like I hit the lottery when I walk out of there with that new fashionable quarter zip, a new polo, or perhaps a button-up shirt, t-shirts, everything you need to kind of, you know, update your wardrobe with Mississippi State merch. If you can't make it to town, let me encourage you to visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. You'll be glad you did. Let me give you some incentive, too. Promo code BSR, you know it well. Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right. Unfortunately, the Mississippi State men's basketball team dropped another game over the weekend. SMU, we knew it was going to be a tall task for us. Bulldogs lose in overtime, 87-81. Bulldogs now 3-4 on the year. Not a great spot to be in. And really felt like we let that one get away. I don't really think there's any question about it. State's up 4 at the break. And then down 4 in the second half, go to overtime. And then we get outscored 13-7 in the extra period. We talked about Boopy Miller. in our preview. Yeah, he goes for 28. Played 39 of, 45 minutes? 46 minutes? But he played a lot of basketball and put up 28. And then Jerome Pierre Jr. With 24. For your Bulldogs, Jaden Epps leads the way with 21 points. He's been good for us since he has been healthy. That's been a great addition to this. And you look at this and say, man, we had four double-digit scores. We should have won the game. Jabari McGee with 17 points. Josh Hubbard with 16. A night that Josh Hubbard is your third leading scorer and you have a chance to win in regulation should be a game you win. Quincy Bauer with a dozen points, also pulled down 10 rebounds. Akor with a dozen rebounds leads the Bulldog team. But, again, you go back and look at this. I mean, we shot really well from the field in the first half, shot 50%, but just 28% from beyond the arc, 4 of 14. In the second half, Bulldog shot just 26% and 30% from the line, from beyond the arc, excuse me. But, it felt like, hey, we come out hot, can't maintain it. Bulldogs shoot 38.6 for the ball game and less than 30% from the three-point line. But, again, you just go back and you look at every bit of this and you feel like, you know what, this is one we let get away. Teams have to learn how to win. And when you've got new guys together, sometimes it can be difficult to develop winning chemistry for a while. The hope is we've got all this figured out by conference play, but I'm not optimistic, I'm going to be honest with you. But, Bulldogs up 61-56 with 7 minutes to play. And, you dig down a little bit here and just under six, they pull to within two. Bulldogs take it back out right around the five-minute mark to a five-point margin here. And you feel like, okay, maybe we can make this thing happen for us. You get down to right at 3 minutes, and State is up just four. But, again, you just feel like, hey, we're making some things happen. We miss a couple of free throws, though, that hurt us. And then, Jerome Pierre Jr. makes a three to make it a two-point game. And then suddenly, with just 2 minutes to go, the Bulldogs are up just 1 point. We miss a big three-pointer by Sean Jones, and then kind of off to the races. Again, not really making our free throws here, but we've kind of one for two. But Akor makes it a two-point game with just over a minute to go. They pull even with 53 seconds. We have multiple opportunities down the stretch. We take the lead. They tie it back up at 74. So the Bulldogs with 20 seconds to play and the ball and a chance to send the Humphrey Coliseum crowd home happy, and we end up turning the basketball over. And then, as we've mentioned, in that overtime period, it was mostly SMU. So, again, disappointing result. Bulldogs back in action this Wednesday, December the 3rd, in Atlanta. If you are a Bulldog in the metro Atlanta area, we encourage you to get out and go. That's going to be an 8:15 game as part of the ACC-SEC Challenge. We'll talk a little bit about that game on Wednesday. Of course, Wednesday will be our signing day extravaganza with dancing girls and marching bands and all that good stuff. So we'll take a little more in-depth look at Georgia Tech then, but yeah, we're not doing a great job so far. 3-1 at home, the loss to SMU, the first in Humphrey Coliseum. But away from the hump, even though they have been neutral side games, Bulldogs 0-3. This will be another one. It's away from the friendly confines. Play over there in Atlanta, as you guys are well aware. But not a great start to the season. On the women's side, a little bit different. Now, granted, the degree of difficulty in this non-conference schedule, not at all what the men have had. The ladies now 7-1. They've won three in a row. They take care of Louisiana Monroe yesterday, 66-54. I don't know if you've kept up, but UL Monroe not doing bad. 5-2 now. They dropped to 5-2 after the loss. But State up two after one and up one at the break. And then in that third period, that kind of becomes the decisive period. State plus eight, and then you win the fourth quarter by three. So really good job for Mississippi State ladies here. Jasmine Jackson leads the Warhawks with 15 points. On the flip side, on the Mississippi State side of things, Favor Nwodwazi, I'll get it right, I promise you. 13 points for her. And then off the bench, you had a pair of double-digit scorers. And Carissa Richardson has been a bit of an adventure on the offensive end. 7 of 7 from the free throw line to give her 11 points on the night, and then Jalea Lampley with 10, and then Desi McFall and Triana Crisp pitch in 9 apiece. And so pretty balanced scoring there. Mississippi State's fabulous newcomer, Madison Francis, pulled down 13 rebounds and had 8 points in the ball game. And so, again, a good win. And we just keep stacking these wins, and you know, you'll look up an SEC play, and you'll feel like, okay, we're doing something significant. Ladies back in action in Humphrey Coliseum on Thursday, 6 p.m. against Pitt. We'll preview that game a little bit on Wednesday. But, yeah, it's interesting to look at how this is all kind of shaken out. This will be, you know, a Power 4 test for the ladies, but it is a home game, so we certainly need you to be here. You know, we've got, what, four straight games in Humphrey Coliseum before we get to the holiday break. So we do encourage you to come out. And again, good job by Sam Purcell and the ladies to get off to a good start. Again, 7-1, and the one loss, of course, came on the road against Texas Tech by 7, a game that we still feel like we should have won. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without question, especially if you're bringing a large group to town. And you've always seen it like on TV or movies and documentaries and things. Man, how neat would it be for everybody to just kind of be together? Well, you should be together, right? Life is short. Death is certain. Make some good memories together. I can promise you mom and dad would love it. You be the linchpin within your friend or family group and put that trip together. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. And you can peruse pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. Plenty of parking there. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. Every conversation around the fire pit is just more meaningful. I don't make the rules. I just live with them, right? Now, when you Google, some booking options are going to pop up as well. It's Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website with promo code BSR. They're open 365 days a year. So whether you're coming for a ball game weekend or perhaps a midweek trip, they can accommodate you, provided it hadn't been booked. So be sure and check it out today. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, without question, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating and all your recreating right there and then taking a ball game. Maybe two, right? Maybe you can grab a week when the ladies and the men are both at home and knock them both out. And of course, the baseball weekends are coming up. So if you hadn't made your travel plans, it's probably smart to do so. We start Valentine's Day weekend. It's December 1st. So about, what is that, 10 weeks from now? Yeah, about 10 weeks from now, we're going to be on the baseball diamond. And I suspect you're going to have a much different feeling about life with that baseball team on the field. All right, let's take a quick look back at the weekend that was. Rivalry weekend was not kind to your good friend and host. Yeah, it was not. I tried to get aggressive because I was trying to catch Nathan. Looks like he will win our Jeans Page Pick'em again this year. I won it 2 years ago. He won it last year. So, you know, congratulations to Nathan Purvis. All right, looking back at the Friday that was, of course, you know the results of our game. And then you have the Georgia Tech game. We expected it to be more competitive, and it was. Georgia wins at 16-9. The decisive quarter, the second quarter, Tech gets out to a 3-0 lead. The Bulldogs come roaring back with 13 in the second quarter, and then it becomes a battle of field goals down the stretch. Georgia Tech cuts it to one possession, but just can't get over the hump. And Georgia wins it 16-9. So those Bulldogs finish 11-1 in advance to the SEC championship game. Of course, last couple weeks were not conference games for them. They got it all taken care of. They are primed and in a good position to win an SEC championship. Now, Texas A&M will not provide the opposition. Texas A&M knocked out of the SEC title game, which may prove to be a good thing in the final FBS playoff rankings. But again, Texas, in A&M's dream season, the Aggies have to go to Austin and lose 27-17. It felt pretty good for a while, and in the second half, it's all Longhorns. 10-3 at the break in favor of A&M. They get outscored 24-7 down the stretch and ultimately lose the game 27-17. And Arch Manning, what can you say about him down the stretch? People are ready to classify him as a bust midway through the year. He has answered those critics. But A&M will get in a playoff. There's some people kind of like harping out there for stumping for Texas that they should get in. You know, we'll see how it works out. I think it's going to be tough. Get into Saturday's game and several games. And it was a good day of college football on Saturday. I had a good time. I hope you guys did as well. Oklahoma, what an exciting game with LSU that proved to be. Guys, Michael Van Buren has not been good at LSU. He hasn't been. It's okay for us to say it. Now, Lane Kiffin may know how to use him in a way that, you know, kind of gets the most out of his skill set. I suspect Lane Kiffin's going to be hot and heavy in the portal trying to find an impact quarterback and let Michael Van Buren develop. But again, you look at this, you know, the career path of Michael Van Buren was committed to Oregon, then flips to Mississippi State. Comes here, has to play as a true freshman, elects to leave because Blake Chapin is returning, goes to LSU to be a backup. Garrett Nussmeier gets hurt. Michael Van Buren is thrust into things, and it just hasn't been good with Mike Van Buren behind center. But they lose a tight one. Oklahoma, big, big plays late, including the big fourth down stop to win it, 17-13. Oklahoma now projected to be a playoff team without any question. LSU will head off to a bowl game somewhere. And for those that wonder, Frank Wilson will coach the team. Iron Bowl, how crazy was this? Did you watch this? You know, Alabama jumps out 10-0, and I guess it's 17-0, and then Auburn gets on the board. But, you know, it looked like Alabama was going to blow them out for a while. But I'll tell you this, I thought Ty Simpson looked incredibly uncomfortable in that game. This Auburn defense is very young. There's a lot of good pieces to it. And then you kind of move ahead here and begin to consider, you know, what that could be if they can get the offense figured out. And you bring in Alex Golish, a guy that's, considered a rising offensive mind in the Southeastern Conference. It could be a good marriage there. But Alabama, with so much to play for, wins the game, expected to be in the playoff. Had Auburn won, it would have knocked Alabama out of the SEC title game, and Ole Miss would have played there instead. But it'll be Alabama and Georgia. We make all these changes, get rid of all the divisions, and say this is better for the league, and then here we are again with basically the same two teams making the SEC title game. Vanderbilt and Tennessee, I was shocked at this. Not that Vanderbilt won, but the fact they won with such ease. And you got to start thinking now with Diego Pavia. Is he a Heisman finalist? I suspect that he is. Vanderbilt, 7-7 with Tennessee after one, 21-all at the break, second half, all Commodores. They outscored the Volunteers 24-3 over the course of the last two quarters to win this game 45-24. Louisville basically brings an end to the Mark Stoops era, and I admit I was surprised because all we've heard is the buyout was going to be too much, like $37 million. And then we find out yesterday that he's willing to negotiate a settlement where all that money is not due within 60 days. And considering the fact that Stoops has been there so long, it kind of makes sense they would give him every chance to make it. Louisville crushes Kentucky 41-0 in this ballgame. And that's been the story really all along with Kentucky. They've never really had that prolific offense. They've had some years, you know, when they had Benny Snell and those guys. They've been able to be good, but never really great. It's always been a defensive-minded team, and offensively they have been dreadful this year. So Louisville puts a fork in Kentucky, and it's so interesting that, you know, Kentucky now enters the college coaching carousel after everybody else has made a hot, right? They're the only job in the SEC that's open. The problem is there weren't even enough good coaching candidates to fill the spots that were already available, and now those spots have been filled. So, yeah, you're the only SEC job standing, but there's not a lot of good candidates out there you look at and say, well, this makes a lot of sense. We'll see. Clemson takes care of South Carolina, 28-14. Good game for a half. Clemson up 17-14 at the break, and then shut out South Carolina in the back half. Everybody was all hype about Lenora Sellers beginning of the year. He was your first team All-SEC quarterback. It has not been the year many expected. Let's just put it that way. Missouri and Arkansas, I watched this one. I love that ESPN thing that I can have like four games on at once. Love it. And all of a sudden something's exciting. I can put my clicker over and I can hear the volume for that game and watch all four games. But I paid special attention to this one because it was interesting. Arkansas leads at the break, 17-14. Missouri defense clamps down. Taylen Green made some mistakes in that ball game, and Missouri wins 31-17. They outscore the Razorbacks 17-0 in the second half. And you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, commitment to football. You know, if you're Arkansas, you know, you don't have the Sam Walton money you used to have. This new generation of Waltons are more concerned about arts and amphitheaters and things of that nature. They're not the prolific donors to Arkansas they once were. They still give some money, but you can't just call up the Walton family anymore and bail you out of stuff. Arkansas finishes 2-10 and goes out and hires a G5 coach. A lot of people were expecting Arkansas to go get somebody with a little more juice. But from the beginning, kind of the talk behind the scenes is they would go get a G5 coach. And I think Silverfield could be interesting there. Of course, Silverfield beat Arkansas this year, Memphis. But, of course, Arkansas loses out. They win the first two and then lose 10 in a row. Games were competitive. You can't knock that. You can't say those kids quit, that's for sure. Absolutely not. Florida surprises me. I thought Florida State would probably rise to the occasion here because they know Mike Norvell's back next year, and he probably enters the season on the hottest seat in the country. You could see a midseason firing next year. But Florida gets them 40-21. The Gators get up 10-0, and then Florida State kind of comes back and makes a game of it. It's 17-14 at the break, and then again, a game of halves, second half. Florida outscores them 23-7. Yeah. And this Florida State team, man, you talk about a team that is very much beneath their branding. It's Florida State. Does anybody consider that a good job anymore? I mean, honest to goodness, ask yourself that. So, one game this week, obviously, the SEC title game. That'll be played Saturday, December the 6th. I'll be covering state championship games, so you guys will have to watch on my behalf. Georgia and Alabama, the Bulldogs favored by 2.5. Over-under is like 47.5. And I'm eager to see these two teams get together again. But, man, I would love to have some fresh color in Atlanta as long as it's not powder blue. But that's your SEC wrap-up. Let's kind of look ahead to Wednesday signing day. As I mentioned, we'll wait until after we've spoken with Coach Jeff Lebby, until all the pieces are kind of in place. You forget last year how crazy that thing was with Tyler Lockhart, right? Remember that? Supposedly flips to Ole Miss, has a signing day ceremony, mom doesn't sign, Ole Miss can't foul him as a signee, and Mississippi State comes in and swoops in late and gets him. And he's played. Of course, there were a lot of Ole Miss people that said, well, he'll just go in the portal in the spring and go where he wants to. He's still here and going to be a big part of things for Mississippi State moving forward. So even hopefully there'll be no late evening drama like there was last time. And if there is, we hope it goes Mississippi State's favor. Braylon Womack is a guy that was committed to Auburn. We feel very good. We have felt good about him since his visit. And then all of a sudden he visits A&M, and some people in the industry project him to go to A&M. And that wasn't based on anything from the Womack camp. I don't know where they got it from. Maybe the Aggies felt good about it and shared it with them. Well, now all of a sudden things are skewing back to Mississippi State. And that's an interesting aspect of this. And I don't know if you guys have kept up with in-state recruiting, because you know, State and Ole Miss both have really struggled in that respect when it's come to in-state recruiting this year. And I can't really explain why that is. But Braylon Womack is a four-star with 247 Sports, but a composite five-star safety. He's like 1 point away. He is the fourth-rated safety in the country, according to 247 Sports, but the number one safety in the country, according to all the composite, right? So could be a very significant development to pick him up. You talk about boosting your class. I'm going to have an article a bit later today, kind of about, I got to change some crystal ball picks, and I got to put some crystal ball picks in. But at this point, I'm expecting Braylon Womack to sign with Mississippi State. That's my feeling today. And matter of fact, while we're together, I'm going to go ahead and put my pick in. I'm going to go ahead and put it in, and we're going to feel good about it. Now, I may end up changing tomorrow. I try not to ever do that. But that's another crystal ball pick for me. And again, we got to make some adjustments too, because there's some things, of course, with the way that these coaching searches have come out, I think will impact the direction of a handful of decisions. Those are my feelings. I think now that some of these teams have kind of settled in and you begin to kind of think, okay, well, I can live with this coach. I can make this happen. I think this is a good thing. And so I share that with you because there are going to be some things that were true maybe 2 weeks ago that may not prove to be true on signing day because all of a sudden, you know, maybe a certain person's favorite coach is retained, or maybe a scenario that a coach that was recruiting them has now come in and they have a relationship already built up. So, you know, this Mississippi State class needs a good close. There's no question about that. State needs to close this thing well. And we've got to make some things happen. Getting Braylon Womack, I think, would be a very significant development, not just because of the fact of the ranking, but he is a very talented athlete from a football factory in many respects. Hartsfield Academy constantly producing great players. But also, too, a sign that you get a position of need player in that's highly recruited with a lot of options. But in addition to that, I think it sends a good signal that you're getting one of the top players in the state of Mississippi to come be a part of your program. I think that's we have not done well in-state with the top players. You know, T.J. White, of course, visited state, and for a while he was the only top 10 player in the state that took an official visit to Mississippi State. And so now when I begin to kind of look at this thing with Braylon Womack, it's just one of these things you begin to kind of think, you know, the top players in this state, you know, where are they going? You know, Tristan Key's going to Tennessee. Braylon Womack is the number two player in the state of Mississippi. T.J. White is third. We expect him to stick with Tennessee. I think the math is going to hold for the most part here. I don't think you're going to see a ton of changing. Bryson Cooley is a guy that 2 weeks ago I was absolutely convinced he was going to flip to Mississippi State. I think now, after this coaching change and some relationships that were pre-existing that will be retained at LSU, but also too some coaches that recruited him at Ole Miss, I think there will be a comfort level. And again, you'll need to check in at jeanspage.com throughout the next couple of days as things change often late. People always want like a definitive answer and things are always changing. This is how things are in recruiting, especially late, especially, you know, somebody misses out on somebody else. And because of the rev share and the NIL, they end up calling up and say, hey, we can give you $50,000 more than we promised, or now it's $100,000 more than we first talked about. Things change. Money matters. But there are a lot of guys out there that are going to pick different things. Archie Chambers, a linebacker that visited over the weekend out of Colin, originally out of Warren Easton High School down in New Orleans. We kind of previewed the weekend. I do expect him to sign with State. There are a couple of others from the weekend that we're still kind of waiting to see what they're going to do. One of those, Tico Crittenden. I remember talking to him early stages of this process, and he was just kind of noncommittal about State, and he ultimately commits to Florida State, backs off of that. Now it appears to be a Georgia Tech-Mississippi State battle with Purdue kind of running as a dark horse third candidate. Tico rated an 89, just beneath the four-star. And then Kamayan Henderson, kind of keeping it close to the vest. And what's interesting, he's been to SMU. He's been to Kansas State. And nobody seems to have a really good idea of what he's going to do. We hope to find out tomorrow. Tico and Junior, as they call him, are supposed to decide tomorrow and then announce on signing day. That's the thinking today. We talked about Archie Chambers and, of course, Trey Riley, Mississippi State commitment, visited Purdue last week, but shares that he will follow through with his commitment to Mississippi State and sign on Wednesday. So as it sits today, Mississippi State got a good number of commitments, right? Got 24. And you start working through the math here. You add Brown Womack. You add another. You add Archie. You know, you start working through this. May end up somewhere around 27. And then you got to go get to work in the portal and probably go get 25 or more players out of the portal. The portal opens on January 2nd. It only runs 2 weeks, and there is no spring portal this year. Everybody hates a portal. Except the fact that Fluff Botwell and Devin Booth came here, Brendan Thompson, and Anthony Epp, right? There's always an upside, right? We're going to lose some players. Some of them will be encouraged to leave. Some will leave of their own volition. And some of those players that leave are going to be players that you don't want to leave. I'm just preparing you for that now. Now, the thing that always, I hate to use the word infuriates, maybe irritates, is like Cam Thompson got in the portal today. Cam Thompson's a guy that we signed out of Northern Illinois. Super nice guy. Super nice guy. Couldn't get on the field, right? He's back in the portal. Now, there will be people all over social media freaking out about Cam Thompson. Well, what's going on? You don't even know who he was? What are we freaking out about? Now, there's some other players out there a little more notable that, yeah, the freak out's going to be justifiable. There's some guys out there that are working to ensure that they stay. There's some other guys out there that have probably already made up their minds to leave. You know, Stonka Burnside is one, and we love Stonka, man. We absolutely love Stonka, and it may be better for him to get out of Starkville. Love Miss Sandra. Mama Burnside is great. I got no beef with Stonka. He has to think about what's best for his own career. He came in as a wide receiver, made some huge plays on special teams, and then all of a sudden people are like, hey, he has a defensive mentality. Let's move him to safety. And then, of course, State does a really good job getting some safeties out of the portal, and so he's a little bit behind the depth chart. He makes a decision, rather mature decision, right? Hey, I'm a redshirt. I'm not going to waste a year of eligibility being a backup receiver or safety. I'm going to take the redshirt. I'll get better. We'll figure it out. Well, he's elected to get in the portal. Got no beef with that at all. Everybody has to do what they feel is best for them. And then Jordan Mosley was the lid lifter of the portal. And guys can't officially get in. They're just announcing their intentions to kind of get it out there, which is smart. If you know you're going to do it, go ahead and get it out there as quickly as possible so teams know that you're going to be available. Jordan Mosley, I didn't think he had a year of eligibility left. I suspect that he can get a hardship year for 2022. He only played in 3 games and was a little bit beat up much of the year. But that's another great young man, right? Jordan Mosley didn't play as much as we expect him to play. But Jordan Mosley's done some good things at Mississippi State. And again, just like we thanked our seniors, I'm grateful that we shared the path with these guys. There's no need to be upset. And Jordan Mosley didn't play a ton this year. Stonka Burnside only played a handful of games. Cam Thompson didn't really play. And so what's the right thing for everybody? You know, we have to fill those roster spots with some guys that can play and contribute. You only get a short time in life to play sports. They need to go somewhere they can get on the field and contribute. That's the plus side of the portal. Everybody loves the portal when we're adding players, but when we're losing players or processing players, there are a lot of casual fans out there that have a lot to say. And that's where you guys can help. I made a big post yesterday on Facebook, and it's got like 1,100 likes right now. Every year we go through this. Can we please avoid the little self-loathing, self-deprecating comments? Are we even going to have enough to fill the team next year? Of course we are. Quit being stupid. And well, I'm just joking around. No, you're not. It's not helpful. It's not helpful at all. It's irritating. It just creates panic in the minds of other fans that maybe don't follow things as closely as you do, and maybe you should follow it a lot closer if you're freaking out because our backup holder hit the transfer portal. If you can use hyperbole, I can use it too. But the reality of it is this is the world in which we live. Now, we've got more parameters around the portal now, so it makes it a lot easier, right? Now it's 2 weeks. You got to navigate the portal for 2 weeks, and then you've got basically 3 weeks from the end of the portal to finalize your class. You got to have them in by the drop-out date in January to open the spring. So everybody that transfers will get the benefit of spring practice, and I think that's a really good thing. When the portal first opened, you could get sideways with a player. You could coach a player hard and tell him he had a bad day, and he could go cry in his dorm room and go get in the portal the same day. Now you don't have to do that. I mean, you were constantly having to walk on eggshells. Now you can coach your team. And now instead of having two portals, which means you got to get it right in December, you got one. So, again, it's taken some time, but we're kind of getting some guardrails around this. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles. It's true. Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, and, of course, a personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And if you've got an Ole Miss brother-in-law or cousin after, you know, all the stuff they've been through, maybe give the gift of Flim Flam this year for Christmas. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, right? Remind them that this isn't the only time that something of an unfortunate nature has happened in their lifetime. Hey, and you know what? You bounce back from that, Rebels, and we'll see if you bounce back from this. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. We had a very busy week last week and already starting to fill up today. It's only open a few hours on Monday, and we already got 8 floaters for the day. So we want you to come float with us, too. And, of course, you can do the Black Friday special. We'll run that through the holidays where you get 2 floats at a discounted price. You can use them together or not in the same pod, but you can float the same night or same day. Or you can just give these one day. Use them both, right? Mom and Dad both need a break. Maybe consider that aspect of it. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. Still running the 75% off special off the annual price. Now, if you want Paramount Plus, you got to pay full price for Jeans Page. But when you do, you have the opportunity, of course, to I got to adjust that. I got to go back and adjust that. But you know what I'm saying. You got to be a part of all this. Come join us over at jeanspage.com. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.